Next item is subdivision 2007-12, Ronald Sharp, clarification on condition of approval. Also in Mr. Burton's area.
Another buffer.
Buffer.
When the commission granted.
We've moved on.
We tabled it.
We tabled it to give you a chance to look it over, and when you're ready, let me know.
When the commission granted preliminary approval on this subdivision, there was a condition that there be 30-foot agricultural buffers be installed along boundaries, adjacent boundaries used for agricultural purposes. And the final site plan will include the landscape plan. This would require a buffer along lots 1 and 3. When this application was originally filed, the adjoining parcel was not tilled. Since then, the site's been planted with soybeans. Mark's prepared a plan. I just have one copy of it. He's providing a buffer along lots 1 and 3, and he's requesting that the buffer, the individual lot lines of lots 1 and 3, be allowed to encroach into the buffer. And there, I gave each of you a copy of Mark's letter explaining that request. I can recall there is one subdivision, Brittany Acres off of Minus Conaway Road. They had a buffer at the time. They were adjacent to ag lands, and that buffer is on the individual lot.
How long ago was that approved?
Now, Millstone conditional use for multifamily. It's been quite a few years.
That's what?
5 or so. At least more, 5 years.
More than 5.
Because Millstone's almost 3 or 4 years old itself.
Yeah, probably
Millstone, one. Millstone, the one over 9, that's right there.
Millstone's already 9, and the.
Brittany Acres.
Brittany Acres, right behind.
So the size of the buffer is the same as the sort of the a clarification of the semantics involved. Is that correct? Being a forested buffer or an ag buffer, one of which could be in the lot lines and one could not be. Is that correct?
Typically, the buffer or lot lines aren't permitted to extend into the buffers.
Yeah, that's what the definition of it says, that it's exclusive of residential lots.
Mm-hmm. Well, do we know how the grasslands were utilized before they were purchased by the Watsons? Had they previously been in agricultural use and just were taken out of use pending sale, or?
I'm not sure, Mr. Johnson. I've not been to that site.
Assume they just weren't being tilled that year.
That happens
on occasion.
Sure.
Mark's here.
For conservation.
He may be able to answer that. I don't know.
Well, they would pay you not to till sometimes.
Till, yeah.
But, I mean, that happens too.
Yeah.
Still an agricultural field, though. Just not active. Word that hints.
Isn't this the subdivision where the applicant was going to be building, the applicant himself was going to be building on one of these lots and creating the other two for sale?
Since Mr. Davidson is here, can we have the benefit of his input?
Sure, we can. Davidson,
Good afternoon, Mark Davidson with Design Consultants Group. I can quit. In the booklet that we handed out during the hearing, I had provided a, there was a subdivision plat that was provided in the booklet. And the piece of ground that we're talking about here is a portion of Lot B, which was owned by Mrs. Swain. Back in December of 2006, Mrs. Swain sold the property to Mr. Watson, which was Lot C, extinguished the property line that was between them. During our time of the application, when we submitted the application, which was back in February of 2007, it was actually an open field. Actually, my client, Mr. Sharp, was mowing the field for Mrs. Swain at the time. During the time of our application, we received, I believe it was from the Department of Agriculture as part of the TAC comments, back on February 26th, well, actually, their letter was dated May 17th of 2007, and I believe I provided a copy of this letter from the Department of Agriculture with my letter. It said the forest buffer defined on the plans dated February 26, 2007 are sufficient to meet county requirements, which means the plan that I submitted with the application back in 2007, we didn't show a 30-foot buffer at all. We showed a 20-foot building restriction line as a rear setback in an AR1 district because the field next door was not being used as farmed as a farm field. It was just an open field with grass, and my client was mowing it at the time. As the hearing came about that summer, and as we were approaching, we noticed that it was being used for a soybean field. So prior to the hearing, we proposed a 30-foot landscape buffer on our plans. So my client has no objection to the landscape plan. He has no objection to planting it. As you can see, we've planted a sufficient amount of trees. We are meeting the requirements of the Department of Agriculture with the landscape plan that we show. Matter of fact, he is anxious to go ahead and start planting that. But in order for us to move to meet the definition of a forested buffer strip under the code, to remove the lots out of that buffer, I would probably end up losing lot one. I've looked at retrying to configure lot number three. I won't get the proper road width to be able to do that in order to meet the minimum 3/4 acre lot size. And the other thing that I would have to try to figure out how to get a piece of open space to that agricultural buffer, because it would be open space then it would be the responsibility of those three lot owners to try to maintain it. This way it's on individual lots. Mr. Sharp is going to be building a house for him and his wife on lot number three, and he's in the process of getting his plans designed at this time. So I hope that maybe clarified.
How much acreage is there north of this little parcel that's currently being farmed? You're talking about big
it's six acres. Well, it's 6 acres, and then it was added to a 7 acre. Mr. Watson had already owned 7 acres, and then he bought the 6 acres, which a portion of the 6 acres is wooded.
So we're not talking about a large open farm field.
If I may, I'd
probably on the second page.
Okay. Yeah. This is like an incidental piece of ground, joining that.
Thank you.
Here's Coastal Highway.
Yeah.
So like right next to the highway. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's more residential than agricultural by any stretch.
Yeah, these are the 2007 aerial photos that are the latest that I can get on the data mill. And if you notice that the, what's on parcel 64, the type of land use is similar to what's next door. So again, Mr. Sharp was mowing the grass for Mrs. Swain at the time until the sale went to Mr. Watson.
I, for one, am appreciative of Mr. Davidson coming before the commission about this. I mean, this could be one of those deals where someone went ahead and did it without seeking clarification. So, and to me, it appears to be an insignificant size-wise parcel of ground that's being farmed next to it. And that's, I don't have a problem with if there's a way we can prevent opening up Pandora's box for
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, is setting a precedent.
But given this is really a minor subdivision, meaning three lots rather than, I mean, I'm sharing my sentiments. I'm looking at council.
How big's the parcel? The next door parcel?
Yeah, 6 acres.
How much of it would it? Whole back section of it, would it?
The whole back section, maybe an acre and a half.
You get down less than 5 acres, that gets you into that other issue about whether it's agricultural use.
Well, it's still considered a farm, even if it's partial.
Yeah.
Wooded, but typically we don't require buffers along wooded areas. Whole back section of it, would it?
Could it be referred to as a landscape buffer, not a ag?
And the way the area was laid down on top of the road system and the land is a little bit off anyway.
Yeah.
The line looks like it's going through the house, and it should be about another quarter inch more to the top of the sheet.
What's the neighbor's name? Is it Watson?
Mr. Watson, yes.
Has he been approached as, I mean, I guess
Actually,
still a buffer, I guess, it's just where it is.
I believe now, I think a few months ago, Mr. Watson passed away. Mr. Sharp and Mr. Watson came to an agreement that prior to his passing that both of them were going to plant along that property line. In our package, we had gotten a supporting letter out of Mr. Watson, you know, the 51% rule. Mm-hmm. We went ahead and he signed off on it. And at the time, they had an agreement where each one of them, since Mr. Sharp was going to do three houses there, they had talked about doing each one of them planting along that property line. Since the hearing and with the condition placed, Mr. Sharp went to the heirs, which I believe is Mr. Watson's son, and asked if they were still going to plant their portion of the buffer, and he was going to see what he could do to work things out with them. And at that time, they didn't have any interest in planting a buffer, so.
That would be the rear of the lots in the subdivision, right?
Yes.
The rear of lots 1 and 3, right?
Of which he's offering them the landscape, or put in an agriculture buffer.
And is he also offering a 20-foot setback, making it a 50-foot setback from that property line? I can't see it.
No, actually, the building restriction line would stop at the 30-foot.
Which would be right up to the edge of the buffer.
That's correct, yes.
I just trying to see what that was on there, and I can't see it.
I mean, the definition talks about exclusive of residential lots. I mean, that's what it says. I mean, I guess it's more of an issue of the timing and what the use is next door, whether you actually really need it or not. I suppose theoretically you get a situation where you get preliminary and final. Somebody comes in and starts farming land next door. You know, you're not going to be able to retroactively cause somebody to put a buffer in after the thing's all been approved.
Yeah, right. I mean,
it sounds like that's sort of what happened here. I mean, in the process.
Right. It wasn't. And it didn't become farmed until probably that June. That's why we got the approval from the Department of Ag during the TAC comments in May, stating that it met the requirements because it wasn't being used as farmland.
That's enough for me. it was conformed to the use at the time the application was made.
And I suppose you could look at it that way, because that's how typically the county looks at things, is
the time of application. Yeah, if an application's already in, then you're sort of locked into whatever the conditions were at the time the application was filed. That's normally what we do.
Yeah, it's analogous to a change in an ordinance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so it's a change in a condition, but it was after these guys had already done their thing. Yeah, it's just so strange, so unusual, where you have something go from non-agriculture to agriculture. Usually it's the other way around, you know. So, but I think in that instance, I would be.
In those particular circumstances, that, you know, it's a sort of a mitigating factor where they're saying, all right, well, it changed midway, and to try to still resolve it, we'll put the buffer just within the lines.
But we could accept the applicant's offer of putting the buffer on the lot line stuff.
So. That protects the owners of lots 1 and 3 from spray and dust.
We can't require him to do it, but we can certainly let him do it.
And I think it would behoove those owners of lots 1 and 3 to maintain that forested area, you know, for themselves.
Well, I think what, Mr. Davidson, what you're asking is, because was that just submitted as sort of a conceptual?
That's part of our landscaping plan that we're going to submit for the final. That was one of the conditions, was we had to submit a landscaping plan, so I wanted to.
So I think probably then what needs to happen is it just needs to come back for final, is that?
Once you get all approvals.
Well, right. And you're just asking for clarification at this point.
Just clarification. Right.
And do you have a letter you said that says one of the reviewing agencies says your buffer meets their qualifications?
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Went through plus said it was okay because it wasn't being farmed at the time. So we've
got that.
Yeah. Under those conditions, it conformed to everybody's rules, and conditions changed after the fact.
That TAC letter during the from Department of Ag, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Is that estoppel where you proceed under Mr. Robertson? Or
I don't know that I'm clear enough on the facts to say that's estoppel. I mean, if you act in reliance on, a final determination of some agency, but I'm not sure that with the facts I could say that's estoppel.
A bumble, not estoppel.
Or a conundrum. Well, thank you for this conundrum.
Yeah.
So then is there a motion that's necessary? Or we,
I like consensus.
Consensus, we've clarified it, that it's.
I think, though, you should make clear, though, if you're going to do that so that it's in the minutes reflect it, that the reason being is that it was based upon the conditions on the site at the time the application was made.
Oh, yeah.
Better off be a motion.
Yeah, I think that's.
Right. We'll entertain one. Anyone wants to make one?
Motion dies for lack of a motion. Nobody knows what to say.
Yeah, that's what it is. Mr. Chairman, I move that in clarification of condition of approval D on subdivision 2007-12, that it be stated that the buffer along lots 1 and 3 are permitted to be included within these individual lot lines due to the fact that the adjoining property at the time of application was not in agricultural use, and that the applicant and their proposing the buffers protects these lots as well as the adjoining property owner.
Yeah, I think that explains, sort of the circumstances that are unique to this.
Second.
Good, I ran out of stuff to say.
Moved and seconded to clarify the condition of approval for subdivision 2007-12, Ronald Sharp, as stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Thank